Our scripture for today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Listen to these words of Paul. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. Advent's a time of looking forward to Christmas. It's a time of preparing our hearts again for the coming of Christ. To think back to that first time when the Christ came as a child, as a baby. I would encourage you sometime during this season of Advent to take some time to actually sit down and think about one incredibly simple thing. God chose to come as a baby that needed us to take care of him. Just that simple thing makes me go, wow. The God that created all the universes, over 160 billion of them, by the way, is the last count I ever saw, chose to come as a baby that needed our help, our care, in order to grow into the Savior. That's just an incredible thought. So Advent is a time to prepare my heart once again to think about that. Tomorrow morning when I come to the office, I'll set up my nativity scene in the window. It won't have the wise men there. And it won't have the baby. It will have Mary and Joseph and the animals sitting there waiting for the Christ child to come. It won't be until Christmas Eve that I place the baby in the manger. Because I want to prepare myself once again for that coming of the Christ child. But you see, Advent is not just about that. Advent is also about looking for the second coming of the Christ. It's a little of both. It's a little of both. And this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is looking towards that second coming when Christ comes again. But in the midst of this passage, he mentions something that is incredibly important for us as we wait. Incredibly important for us. It's about coming together to support one another. It's about gathering to restore each other. You see, there is an essential part of the faith that people are allowing to slip away. That essential part is gathering together to build one another up. Gathering together to build one another up. Members of churches are allowing this to slip away. They're allowing it to slip away that we gather together to lift one another up. Many churches are doing just the same as we are and gathering for worship and not much more. We've had to think outside the box in the last 18 months. How will we restore one another? How will we build one another up? The key verse that I'm centering on is verse 10, where Paul says this: "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." Wow. Paul says, I want to get together with you and I want to help you with what's lacking in your faith. Another scripture that greatly supports what I've tried to share with you over the years that I've been here. Coming forward and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, being baptized, becoming a member of the church, participating in worship service and other activities that we do here is not enough. It's not enough. Because Paul says, I want to come to you for what's lacking in your faith. Gathering together to build one another up. I wonder, have you ever heard anybody say before, it's not about gathering together to talk about the weather, children, and jobs? It's about gathering together and encouraging one another in our spiritual walks and asking, what has God taught you in the last week? Where have you seen God active in the last week? That's what it's about, isn't it? This is what Paul's talking about. What's lacking in our faith is that we're not seeing God where God is around us. That's what's lacking. We're not understanding how to see God better. And why is that? Because people aren't gathering together to build one another up. We gather together for things, but are we doing it for the purpose of helping each other out for what's lacking in our faith? Now, I want to acknowledge that the reasons are numerous for not gathering. And the community is lacking because of this trend. Reasons are numerous. You can say it's COVID if you want to. You can also just as easily say it's laziness. I've heard a number of pastors speak here lately that in one ways they wish that we couldn't have a presence online. Because people have gotten so comfortable staying at home watching worship services that they certainly are missing out on this gathering together to build one another up. They're missing out on it. And it is a crucial part of our faith. And people are making not just excuses because I got up late and I watched it online. Now, I know there's some people watching online right now, and I don't want to slight them. For some of them, they're doing what they can to participate. For some of them, they're hearing the Word of God. For some of them, that is getting into them in a way that is making a difference in their lives. But here's what I want to say. They're missing a part of what it means to gather together to build one another up. It's as though you're eating half a sandwich and letting the other half go. It's as though you're having a meal without having dessert. Oh, that's a crime, isn't it? Especially during this time of year. That's a crime. Preach it on. Preach, brother. You preach. No. yes, you can gather together online for worship. But folks, we're missing an important part even when we only gather for worship on Sundays. We're missing an important part about building one another up, about encouraging one another in the faith. You see, Paul prayed that he might have the opportunity to return to Philippi. And I realize I got my notes wrong here as I read this. To return to Thessalonica to supply what was lacking in their faith. You see, Paul prayed that he might have the opportunity to come back, that he might supply what was lacking in their faith. Folks, it's time for you to identify what's lacking in your faith. And how might being with someone else and talking about your journey with God make a difference? How might that make a difference in your life? As I think back over my journey with God, there are many times, that I was not sure what step to take next. I was not sure where to go. I was not sure how to grow in my faith. And I heard somebody else share something, and it was like a light bulb went off. And it was like, that is what I'm missing. Exactly what they just said is what I'm missing. Thank you, Lord, that someone said what helped them in their journey with you. You see, that's what getting together is about, restoring one another and what's lacking in our faith together. All of us have something lacking in our faith, because the spiritual journey is a journey. It is not a moment in time. It's a journey. So many times it's all about, are we there yet? Isn't it? Are we there yet? It's as though we've got to get someplace before we can experience what we're going to experience. And here's what I want to tell you. It has nothing to do with about getting there. The spiritual journey right now for you has nothing to do with about getting there if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because your there is already solved. Your there is to be in heaven with God one day once you pass through the threshold of death. Once you pass through that threshold, your there is solved. Now it's about the journey. Now it's about the time that we spend with God now. Now that it's about the time that we spend with other people listening to their journeys of faith. Now is the time that we gather together to support, encourage, and lift each other up so that we're not lacking in our faith. The Christian life is all about journey. In some ways, I would love to go back and stay in Kenya. I went there for 3 weeks and I did not want to leave. I had no desire to leave. Even though my wife and 3 children were over here, I had no desire to leave. I wanted to stay. Why? Because they understand this concept that it's about journey. And they taught me that better than anything else in the world. I remember sitting down with a gentleman who was on the school board for their local district. And he said to us at lunchtime, he said, By the way, not going to be able to spend the afternoon with you because I've got to go to a school board meeting today. It's very important. And we said, we understand. The two of us that were staying with the family. We understand. I said, what time's the school board meeting? He said, 2 o'clock. I looked at my watch, it was 2 o'clock. He did not have a vehicle. He was going to have to walk to the meeting. It was going to take time to walk to the meeting. It was not next door. We're out in the rural area. It was that conversation with him and then walking with his wife different places that really helped me to understand something. The journey was much more important than the destination. You see, in their society, and some of you will greatly enjoy this, and some of you will be greatly frustrated by this. In their society, it was perfectly acceptable to be 2 hours late to any meeting. Acceptable. Every time our guide dropped us off somewhere, he had to explain to the Kenyan people, I will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock American time to pick them up, not Kenyan time. You know why it was so important that their society works that way? Because it's about the journey. It's about walking along and stopping and talking with people. It's about walking along and interacting with people. Not once, as I walked with Anna, who was our mother for 3 days as we stayed with that family, same age as me, but we were told to call her mama. And she was mama. She told us when we were getting up. She told us when we were eating. She told us when we were taking a bath. She told us when we were going to bed. And we said, yes, ma'am. Sweet, wonderful lady. It was walking places with her that I really understood what all this meant. You stop and you talk to people. I never met anybody that we didn't stop and talk to for at least 10 minutes. You didn't walk down the street and just go hi and keep on walking. You stopped and you talked and you interacted. And part of what Paul is talking about is just this thing. We live in a society right now that we rush to get places. And then we rush to leave those places to get to another place. And then we rush to leave there to get to another place. And at the end of the day, we're so tired, we can't do anything. Because we're rushing from one place to another. It's as though we're going, if I put my 10 minutes in here, I can get 10 minutes in here, and I can get 10 minutes in here, and I can get 10 minutes in, and I have accomplished so much today. But here's what I'm going to ask you. What have you accomplished relationship-wise when you do that? What have you accomplished with your relationship with God and with your relationship with other people? What does Paul say? Let me read the verse for you again. He says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Do you think that's a 10-minute meeting for Paul? Do you think after meeting with Paul, you would have gone, well, that would have been a better email? I don't think so. I think if you sat down with Paul, He was almost going to get you to open your heart up completely and share about what's going on in your journey with God and give you some wisdom and some insight and some understanding on how to take the next step. Now, if you rush into that meeting with Paul and rush out of it, will you accomplish what needs to be accomplished in your spiritual journey? I have purposely for a number of years never, to the best of my ability, scheduled meetings back to back. Because I never know how much God might want in this meeting to go on before I go to the next one. And I certainly want to make sure I've got time to process what went on here before I move to the next one. Because it's about journey. It's about restoring one another. It's about building each other up. Why did the Christ child come? To restore us. To redeem us. To repair us. To rebuild us. To recreate us. That doesn't happen running in and looking and running out. And sometimes we let our society do that to us. You see, one result of gathering together that Paul talks about here as he talks to the church at Thessalonica, he says one result of gathering is for love to increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Can love increase and overflow when we rush in and rush out? It has a very little chance of doing that, doesn't it? It can happen, but there's very little chance. And Paul says he wants to see their love increase and overflow for each other. How can my love overflow for you if I don't spend time with you? If I don't talk about your relationship with God and my relationship with God, how can my love for you overflow? I don't think it can. It's about spending that time. It's about taking those moments. It's about capitalizing on the time that you have. It is actually about not scheduling too much. And Americans love to do that, by the way. There may be other societies in the world that love to do that, but I haven't lived there. I know Kenya doesn't. Relationships and talking with one another were incredibly important. I was put in my place at one point in time, more than once, by a lady. She came over Sunday afternoon to visit with us. And she, first off, she put me in my place and she asked me, she said, what do you do for work? And I said, I'm a minister. And she said, no, what do you do for work? And I said, that's what I do for work. That's my full-time thing. She goes, no, what do you do for work? And I said, well, I guess I don't. She says, yep, sounds like you don't work at all. That was the first time she put me in my place. The second time was incredibly humbling, though. I asked her, I said, Elizabeth, I said, I think her name was Elizabeth, I said, what do you do for work? She says, I'm a school teacher and I teach three different grades. And I said, so are you prepared to teach for tomorrow? She said, no. I said, well, Hal, and this is Sunday afternoon now, by the way. And I asked her, I said, how long does it take you to prepare? And she said, it's going to take me at least 3 hours to be prepared for tomorrow. I said, well, then when are you going to prepare? She said, well, when I get back home, I'm going to have to cook dinner, take care of my kids, get them in bed, make sure they're ready for school tomorrow. And once everybody gets to bed, then I'll prepare for tomorrow. And I said, in my country, people would have prepared first, and if they had time left over, went and visited. And she looked at me and she said this, it was more important that I spend time with you than prepare for tomorrow. This is what Paul's talking about. Are we caring for each other? Is our love for each other overflowing and increasing? Are we spending time with each other? Or are we so busy rushing from one place to another that we can't even take the time to think about what it must mean that God comes as a baby? If there's not time in your life for pondering, you need to cut some things out of your schedule. If there's not time in your life for increasing and overflowing the love that you have for one another and for everyone else, Paul says, it's time to cut some things out of your schedule. Maybe that's what Advent's about. Making sure that we got room to see the Christ child again. Making sure we got time to ponder what that means. Making sure we got time to gather together to restore and build one another up in our faiths. Not only does it increase our love and cause our love to overflow, plus it will strengthen us to live the lives of purity God desires for us to live. If you don't have time to think about these things, I hope that this Advent will be some, you'll take some time to say, what's got to go? So that I can. What's got to go so that I can sit and ponder what this really, really means when God comes as a baby? God comes as a baby, needing our care, our love, our help. Have you got some time to sit down and think about that? Have you got some time to talk to someone else about that? You know, I sat down and did what the pastor suggested, and I really thought about this. Can I share with you what God showed me? There's not a one of you in here that can't do that. Or we can participate in the busy rush of the consumerism that's going on in our society around Christmas. It's about restoring one another. It's about building one another up. It's about encouraging one another. It's about listening to each other's journeys. That's what our faith needs to be about. That's what our faith needs to be about. And when we become so busy that we can't do that, we're failing God, and we're failing each other. What different commitment can you make? What deeper commitment can you make? To gather together for the sole purpose of building one another up. For the sole purpose of building one another up. Not to have a meeting. Not to produce a product. Because you see, we still got that in our minds, don't we? If we don't produce a product, we're not worth anything. We got to have something to show for what we did. And if I just sit down and talk with you about the faith, we don't have a product to show other people, do we? Ah, maybe we do. Because what does Paul say? Your love will increase and overflow for one another and for everybody. Will people not be able to see the love that we have for one another? Remember how I defined love. Love is watching out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. That's love. That's godly love. Did God do that? It costs God enormously to love us. Are we doing the same for each other? Or are we so busy rushing from one place to another? What deeper commitment can you make to gather for the purpose of building one another up? That's what our faith should be about. Is that not why the Christ child came? Is that not why Paul says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith? What deeper commitment can you make? To truly be about the journey. Not the destination, the journey. Maybe today you need to make a decision. Maybe today you need to go home and look at your calendar and cross half the things off of it. Okay, maybe one. Can you just take one off? And say instead, I'm going to do something to show my love to someone else. What will you do to ponder the Christ child? Let's pray. Lord, You've asked so much of us. And sometimes we put all our hope in you. But then we go about working as though you don't exist. Sometimes we're so busy planning, so busy preparing, so busy trying to accomplish, so busy trying to participate that we truly miss your presence. And we especially miss your presence as it shines through another sister or brother in the faith. Help us to stop being so involved in activities that we might be able to ponder what you have for us. And that we might be able to sit down with another individual and truly talk about the journey. About what you're sharing with us, what we're learning from you. And may we use that as an opportunity to increase the love we have for one another, and for that love to overflow in dynamic ways, as your love did for us through the Christ child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.